You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 27th of August 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Once again, we've reached the end of another week and the weekend is almost here. And you know what that means? That means we have Grandpa Dan with us here today. Grandpa, how are you doing? What's it like over there in Texas?
Well, in the words of Mark Chestnut, it's I'll be glad when these dog days of summer are gone. We're going to be wrapping summer up here in the next month. So I'm looking forward to that because it's hot as usual. But other than that, doing great down here in the Lone Star State. It's as usual. It is hot. But yeah, we're keeping on. It's great to be together for another edition. Everybody looks forward to the Friday installment of the Daily Nationalist.
They certainly do, because we always have some fun stories to get into. What we're going to be talking about today is why we should stop telling women to be better negotiators. And it actually comes from an article which is titled "Negotiate Like a White Man." That was the subheadline of a recent article I read offering tips on how to take charge of your finances this summer. The writer's intention was noble, no question. If we know women, and women of colour particularly, earn less than white men, we should offer tips so they can swing the pendulum back in their favour. Clearly, white men must be doing something special at the bargaining table, right? They earn 20 to 40% more than women on average. So, of course, let's get women to channel their inner Mark Cubans and finally close the stubborn gender wage gap already. But there are two huge flaws in the way experts often speak to women about negotiating and earning more. First, they always put the onus on the shoulders of the person at the table, who has the least amount of power in most salary negotiations, in this case, women, or really any job candidate, for that matter. This is incredible, isn't it? What she is saying here is that it really shouldn't actually be the job candidate that is showing they are the right person for the job. It's down to the person who is doing the employing to make exceptions and take somebody on who is clearly not going to be the best person for the job. I mean, the whole point of going for a job interview or going for a raise is so that you impress the person who you want to give you the raise. And what she's saying here is, oh, no, you shouldn't be concentrating on impressing this person. This person should just be giving it all to you anyway, because you're a woman and because apparently the pendulum has swung away from you. I mean, what is she talking about here? Swing the pendulum back in their favour. It is already in women's favour. If they think that they shouldn't actually have to try and do their best to get a job, it should be the employer who is pleased to employ them. They say here that men earn more than women on average. Well, could that be because men do longer hours? Men do more dangerous work. Men take less time off. They're not likely to take some months off due to pregnancy. Is it because men tend to do more technological skilled jobs rather than the sort of jobs women do? Women tend to do caring jobs, teaching jobs, jobs which make the most of a woman's natural skills, which lie in the social realm, which usually concentrate on empathy and sympathy and emotions, whereas men tend to get jobs that tend to be within the logical realm or within the physical strength and stamina realm, where we know that men are going to have more strength and more physical stamina than women. So you would expect there to be a gap or a difference between the wages that were earned by men and women. And if you compensated for the fact that women had time off, I'm sure you would probably end up that they both ended up pretty much earning the same. But the point of this is she's saying that the job candidate really shouldn't be trying hard. It's not their fault if they don't get the job. It's the fault of the employer. What do you make of this, Grandpa?
Well, one of the things I think is a real treat for people that tune into the Friday installment of the Daily Nationals is these little lessons, Sven, these little lessons that we get to share with everybody that makes their worldview expand to where, you know, they can just understand the clown world around them. I don't know how it is we come in here week in, week out, you know, and just somehow suffer through the clownage of the world around us. But we do this. We pay this price for the listeners to make their worldview a little clearly. One of the things, one of the lessons you can take away from this as a listener, you know somebody is full of shit. I'm sorry, but there's just no other way to phrase it. You know somebody's full of shit when they have to come up with this real complicated, convoluted reasoning to explain something that really someone can glance at and come up with, you know, well, it looks like the answer is pretty simple to me, but you see, they have this little bubble worldview, and their little bubble worldview has no connection to reality. So when you point out reality and says, well, you're wrong because here, look at this, and they, oh, no, I'm not wrong. Here's the reason I'm right, and this explains it. And they come up with this weird, ultimately, it usually turns into some sort of metaphysical, strange, twisted, convoluted explanation. But no, the answer really is simple. She says, clearly white men must be doing something special at the bargaining table. I'll tell you what they're doing. They're more competent. They are more competent. White men are actually doing the work. I would be willing to bet if you took and figured out, put everybody on an hourly wage, if you figured it up, because most of these people, they're talking about office jobs and professionals, so they're not getting paid by the hour. They're getting paid salary. I guarantee you, if you took and broke down what these people make by the hour, by the actual amount of hours and the actual amount of work they turn in, white men are making less than everybody else. They're doing the work of these other incompetent women. It's that simple. Anybody that's worked in a business setting with women will tell you that 99.9% of the time, you do have your outliers. Most of the time, women spend their time trying to manipulate men into doing their work for them so that they can. Nobody can say we shy away from controversy here. We are not shy of controversy. They spend their time manipulating men to do their work for them so they can take credit. And now we have to what do we get? What do you get for simping and doing the work for them? Let me tell you what you get. You get these women bitching and complaining that they're somehow not making, they're making less. They're making less. The onus is on the person. Now the onus is on you to not be incompetent. If you do a good job, you're going to get paid. Whenever they throw this, women make this much less on average than men, it flies in the face of any sort of common sense. If women work, say, 20%, you hire women and they do just as good a job and they make 20% less than men, men would be out of work. You know, I mean, that's just common. Just, you don't have to be a PhD economist to figure this out. If, hey, wow, I'm a business owner, I can hire these bitches and they'll work for 20% less than men and do just the same job. Men are going to be on the unemployment line. You're going to have nothing but women. They're going to be doing this just amazing work. But we don't see that, do we? We don't see that. Why? Because of the reasons we've already laid out here. Now, you know, there's an old saying we say back in the day, if you can't dazzle them with brilliance, baffle them with bullshit. And that is what you see here in this word salad that we get. They're just trying to baffle you with all this bullshit. And it's no, the answer is actually really simple. You're incompetent. You're stupid. And you're not doing as good a job. You're not doing as good a job as a man. That's why you're not getting paid as much.
Well, they come up with a second reason here. They say, and second, they assume white men are doing something right, while women are failing in some obvious way, leading to their own pay inequity. Well, isn't that really what we see here? I mean, if somebody does well, they do well at their job, they're going to get a promotion. If they don't do well at their job, they're not going to get a promotion. I mean, she assumes that there's a racial component to this. She is saying that this is white men that are somehow getting a bigger piece of the pie than they should actually be getting. But as you pointed out there, Grandpa, if it was true that women were able to do the work for less of the money, then no men would get employed at all. It's always they feel a need to blame everybody else for something that really boils down to their own fault, but they have to come out with some kind of an excuse to blame everybody else for this. And usually it turns out that they're blaming the white man. I mean, what do you think she is assuming white men are doing right here? Or what do you think she's trying to get across here, Grandpa?
Well, we're fixing to get into, I won't add spoilers here, but we're fixing to get to the mythical thing, this unconscious bias that can't be proven to exist, by the way. It's some sort of metaphysical state that this goes back to what I said. They invent this thing that can't be proven, this weird convoluted logic to explain the fact that you're looking at something that's really quite simply explained, which we've already laid out here. She can't explain it. She says they assume white men are doing something right. Yes, they are. They're doing the actual, they're doing the actual work. If you went in, if you go into any random workplace and say you have 50% men, 50% women, I can guarantee you that at least 80% of the work is being done by the men. And that's just a hard truth. It's an unpleasant truth. It's a politically incorrect truth, but it's the truth nonetheless.
The fact is that white men don't earn more than women because they are such amazing negotiators or possess some innate magical business savvy that we lack, thanks to unconscious bias and the way it influences hiring and compensation decisions established by a multitude of studies. White men walk into a room and are given the benefit of the doubt in ways that women simply aren't. According to one such study conducted in 2018, researchers found women are just as likely to ask for pay raises as men are, but they are less likely to actually get the raise. Women who asked for a raise received one 15% of the time, the study found, while white men who asked got raises 20% of the time. And of course, the reason for that can't possibly be that only 15% of the time the women actually deserved a raise, whilst 20% of the time the men deserved a raise. It has to be this invisible unconscious bias. It has to be this mythical white privilege thing that they have. You can see, by the way she says it, they just walk in and they just get, and men just get given what they ask for. It's got nothing to do with the work that the man has done. It's just this magical privilege that men have. They just seem to get given everything that they want. They don't actually have to work for it. I mean, it's incredible that people think like this, but they do. We find article after article that thinks in this way. The penalty against women doesn't just apply at the salary negotiation table either. Here are some other examples of how bias in favour of white men can play out in the real world and proliferate the gender wage gap. A recruiter or hiring manager may look at a white man's resume and interpret his lack of management experience as an opportunity to rise to a new challenge and put him forwards for a senior role. That recruiter may see the same resume with a woman's name attached and unconsciously comes to an entirely different conclusion. This woman clearly lacks management experience, so let's recommend someone who's racked up more years in senior leadership. In a vacuum, this decision doesn't seem biased, but rather simply based on cold, hard facts. But you can see how our innate bias towards white men as the default image of leadership literally lines their pockets with additional wealth while depriving women and people of colour the same opportunity. Well, she's really sort of contradicting herself here, isn't she? She's saying that this white man there, he actually lacks management experience. And then she says it's the same for this woman here who also lacks management experience. And then they say that they employ somebody who has racked up more years in senior leadership. Surely if somebody's been working hard and they've been good at their role, you're going to promote them, aren't you? And clearly this woman here has not been working hard, or she would be given this role. I don't see why this seems to come down to innate bias. And has she actually seen that a woman's name on it means that the employer is going to come to a completely different conclusion? I mean, people aren't biased like this. They look at results, especially people that are involved in business. Nobody looks at a business and deliberately makes choices that are going to harm the business and employs somebody that they think is going to be worse for the job. They're employing whoever it is that they think is going to be the best at the job. I mean, this is the reason why people want to see qualifications. And we're being told now that one of the ways that we can even up this gap is to stop asking for qualifications. It's racist to ask for qualifications because black people might not have such good qualifications as white people. So we should just do away with qualifications. The same thing as far as with women are concerned. Women might not be so good at science, so we should just lower the level for them at science so that they can get their physics exams. We've seen this happen. We've seen in physics exams, we've seen that women have been allowed an extra 15 minutes time. We've seen that they've been allowed to have a little bit more grace on their numbers that they have to get. We see that black people get given special grants at university. We see all these programs and ways to try and even up this gap, which is supposed to be there due to racism. But it's just there due to there being a difference. There is a difference between the genders and there is a difference between the races. It's not a bad difference. It's not a good difference. It's just a difference. There are differences between people. We're not all equal. And when the further we come up against this, with this anti-racist, anti-gender discrimination idea, the more it comes up against reality, the harsher the effects of it are. And it always seems to be that the people that are on the losing end of it are white people. What do you make of her example here of this recruiting manager, Grandpa?
Well, I'm sitting here thinking there was a video floating around on the internet recently, and you've probably saw it. And they had this group of people, and they were interviewing this group of random people. And among this group of people, there was this white guy, and he was just a high school graduate, just a Marine grunt, you know. And the other people in the group were shitting all over this guy that he's probably the dumbest one in the room. And among these people was this woman of color who has a PhD, and she obviously considered herself the smartest person in the room. And as this video rolled on, then at the end of the video, they had him sit down, open these computers. She thought they were going to show him something on Facebook, but they gave him an IQ test. And this woman ranked towards the bottom, PhD and all. This white guy ranked number two or number three, way above this woman. As far as any sort of unconscious bias is what she's calling it, as far as it exists at all, which it doesn't really, but if you said it existed, there's another word for that. There's not this made up term, this unconscious bias. It's called experience. You see, if somebody's sitting there interviewing people, they've got an experience. If I hire this woman, she's going to do about a third of the work as men, but demand the same amount, the same amount of money. Now, I think it bears pointing out because, again, this whole entire article is easily explained by experience. We've already hit on that. So the whole entire word salad that we're wading through for the benefit of you, the listeners, we make this sacrifice for y'all. This whole entire article is, again, her attempt to baffle us all with her bullshit. But see, Sven and I have been at this long enough. We see right through it. This whole scenario she's created, it's a made-up story. She has no way to prove this has ever happened in the history of the world. She says, oh, I can prove this. Okay, how do you prove this? And she comes up with this story. There's a recruiter or hiring manager, and he may look at this woman. But there's no proof that this exists. She just made up a story and then takes her story, this story she made up, and says, see, this story I just made up proves my point. It's a story. It's a story she made up. She's trying to make something really complicated out of something absolutely, positively, very, very simple. Again, as we've pointed out, the economics spells this out. If you can hire women cheaper and they do the same work that men do for less money, they will all have the job. Men will all be unemployed. That doesn't happen. So there has to be a reason. And I don't think it's this convoluted word salad that she's made up here. I don't think it's that complicated. I think it's actually, you know, quite simple.
Well, you can see it's a made-up story because at the start of it, she says that this guy that was going for the job, he didn't have the experience in senior leadership. And then when she comes in with the woman that also didn't have experience in senior leadership, she was looked over for this guy because he did have the experience in senior leadership. And she's saying, well, the employer should have given the woman a chance. So you know, her story doesn't even add up here. That's how you can tell that it's made up. She continues, as a black woman, I have walked into rooms throughout my career where I have been the most senior person at the table, and yet I have been spoken to as if I am the intern. Well, could that possibly be because she's made some kind of mistakes? Of course, she wouldn't admit that she would ever make mistakes, of course. A senior leader at my company visited my office for a meeting with me and spent 10 minutes speaking with someone else. before they realised they had pulled aside the wrong brown-skinned, curly-haired woman in the office, and I was told at least twice during annual reviews that I was intimidating to some colleagues and should focus on being easier to work with. Well, there you go. There's your explanation. She's bullying people. She's coming across as aggressive to people. That's why they don't really want to speak to her. But instead of thinking, well, maybe I should work on my demeanor, she's blaming everybody else. She says these are microaggressions that white men simply don't face in the workplace. I was able to succeed in corporate settings in spite of them, becoming one of the highest paid women at my company and managing a team of more than 30 staff at the end of my 5-year tenure. Well, maybe that's because white men aren't so intimidating. I mean, she's obviously being intimidating to people because she's blaming everybody else for things. And yet she says here that that issue is something white men don't ever have to deal with, being told that they are intimidating. I'm sure maybe there are some men out there that some women find intimidating. I mean, don't women say that they find men intimidating? And yet she's saying here that it's men that are finding women intimidating, and it's men that should be making the changes here. She shouldn't be, you know, taking a step back and looking at the way that she comes across to people. I mean, once again, it's just this hypocrisy here and this idea that you should just blame everybody else whenever someone tries to make some constructive criticism. It's never your fault. It must be an unconscious bias. I mean, she's even saying here that it's this unconscious bias literally lines white people's pockets with additional wealth that has been deprived from people of colour. Well, if people of colour were doing the job as well as white people, then they would be employed by the companies. You would see companies full of black people. You would see companies full of women if they did the job well enough, because the company is there to make a profit. It's not going to do the opposite of what it needs to do in order to make money. What do you make of what she has to say about microaggressions here, Grandpa?
I had to put a Band-Aid on my forehead from beating against my keyboard while you were going over this. I wish we could get a little better fantasy story from this person than what we're getting, because this is really bottom tier stuff. She's trying to blame all of this, and I'd like to point out, by the way, at the very end, her huge success in the corporate world and her huge success, you know, overcoming these insurmountable odds, was a whopping 5-year tenure. Wow, 5 years! Woo, what an accomplishment! Now, she's invented this story. She's been the victim herself, of course, because it always comes down to this personal experience. She herself has faced this unconscious bias against women, especially women of color. And yet, in her story, she says, a senior leader at my company visited my office, bringing along, no doubt, his unconscious bias, racism, etc., and spent 10 minutes speaking with someone else before they realized they had pulled aside the wrong brown-skinned, curly-haired woman in the office. So this guy came in with his unconscious bias and racism and was speaking to the wrong black woman. Okay, it didn't like he went over and was speaking to the white guy that was over there sweeping the floors. Like, hey, you must be the one running this. He was talking to another black woman. Someone must have told him, oh, well, she's the black woman in charge of that. He walks in. He's like, okay. You know, I don't know which one. And well, the other black woman was probably conducting herself more professionally than this woman. So he goes over and starts talking to this other black woman in her story, which I don't even know is even true. But we'll give it the benefit of the doubt, because hopefully she wouldn't make up something this bad. He goes over and talks to, because if she made it up, surely she would have said he went over and talked to another white man. But she admits he went over and talked to another black woman who must have been conducting herself much more professionally. So he assumed, well, this probably the woman in charge. How do you call it unconscious bias and racism when she admits in her story that he went over and was talking to this other black woman? Now, once again, I'm gonna give another gift, another nugget of knowledge. And this is for our female listeners who are out there in the workplace, you know, and if you're listening to the show, you're probably, you know, I give you the benefit of the doubt. You're one of the exceptions to the rule. If people say that you are you get called aside in your work and say, you know, something along the lines of what she says here, you're intimidating to some colleagues and should focus on being easier to work with. See, they're being nice, because they don't want to tell you you're a bitch. You know, you can't go in your workplace. Your boss is like, Matt, everybody is complaining about this person. She's hard. Nobody wants to work her. She doesn't play well with others. They can't call you in the office and say, look, you know, we're trying to work with you here. And you got to work as a team. Everybody has to work together as a team. Please stop being a bitch. They can't tell you that. So they're going to tell you things like, don't be intimidating. Now, you can take that to heart and say, wow, maybe I should be less than a bitch. But that requires self-reflection, self-awareness. Don't take that and say, well, they're just intimidated by my, you know, competence. And no, they're telling you, quit being a bitch. You'll have more success if you work well with others. If everybody is complaining about you in the office, the problem is not them. If you got one person that you have a problem with, it might be that person. That's true enough. But if it reaches the point where everyone is coming to your boss and saying, I cannot work with this bitch another single day, you are the problem. And I'm not picking on women. That holds true for men as well. If everybody at your workplace has a problem with you, then you are the problem. You are the problem. And you need some little self-reflection. Don't make up a fantasy story about how you are actually perfect and the problem is with everybody else, because that's not how reality, works. And if you don't accept that reality, at the end of the day, you're going to look back on your life and say your most roaring success in your career was a whopping 5-year tenure.
Well, I'd also managed to get her signed up as a journalist for Yahoo. She continues, I didn't negotiate like a white man to get there. I worked hard. Well, that's good. That's good. She did work hard. She said, she says she worked hard to earn the trust and respect of my white male colleagues. So what is she doing there? She was sucking up to the boss rather than actually working hard. She says the people who I knew were at the decision-making tables when conversations around promotion and compensation happens. So she was basically sucking up to the boss rather than actually doing the work. She says, I fought for equal pay for my staff every chance I got, pointing out pay inequities between men and women doing the same job where the man earned more. I mean, would you really want to employ somebody that did that all the time, that was just trying to cause trouble? She says, I did this because I knew good and well where the power truly lay, and it wasn't in the lap of the job candidate sitting across from me at the bargaining table. Well, of course not. The power is there with the boss. It's not there with the guy that's trying to get the job. She says it was with me and all the other senior leadership at my company who had first-hand knowledge of our compensation budgets and exactly how much we were willing and able to pay for specific roles. So, I mean, she's basically saying here that you should suck up to the boss rather than work hard. She's not saying that she got this raise because she worked so hard. She's just saying she earned the trust and respect of her white male colleagues, not that she actually worked hard. And she says that she worked out who was at the decision-making tables, and they were the ones that she had to impress. But then I don't really think she would have impressed them that much if all she was doing was complaining that women didn't earn as much as men. I mean, this is the sort of problem that I think people worry that they're going to have when they get an activist type at the office. They're just going to be complaining about equality all the time. And if they say, well, your work is suffering, they're going to get accused of implicit bias or racism. And if they end up having to let the person go, they know that they're going to be taken to an employment tribunal and accused of being racist or accused of being sexist or accused of being homophobic or whatever. And I think employers, you know, they just don't really want the hassle. Surely that's got to play into this more so than them thinking, well, we just don't want to employ women. Hey, what do you make of what she brags about here, how she worked hard to impress her colleagues?
Well, once again, though, this isn't unconscious bias. It's called experience. She's talking about, oh, well, people have this unconscious, but it's called experience. She's not spent virtually no time talking about what a good job she's done. She spent all her time talking. It's obvious that she spent her entire time. This is why she had a massive 5-year tenure at her most successful employment. She spent all of her time on the social justice crap. She spent all her time bitching and moaning about wage inequality and whatever unconscious bias or racism she thought she could find instead of actually doing the work. Now, you go in for apply for a job somewhere, more than likely, especially if it's an important job, you know, they're going to call the people you've worked for before. Here's the thing. They look at your resume. And they're looking, and the longest job you've held in your entire life was 5 years. So I'm guessing all the other jobs was 6 months, 3 months, a year, 9 months. And they're going, there's a pattern here. Let's find out. They're going to see, we have this thing called telephones and emails, and they're going to email your former employer and say, look, I'm not going to hold you to this, but just tell me, what's the story on her? And they're going to say, she spends all of her time bitching about social justice stuff and no time doing work. She's a problem. Run away. And so when she doesn't get hired, when people like this don't get hired, they say, oh, it's unconscious bias. It's unconscious racism. I've got proof of it. This guy came in and talked to the wrong black woman. She's obviously a racist by talking to the wrong black woman. You know, they're talking about asking for race. I got a pointer here for anybody. Look, and I tell people this. I tell younger people this all the time because I got life experience. I have never, ever in my entire life asked for a raise. Why? Because if they think you're worth more money, they will offer you more money. Now, if you think you're worth more money than what they're paying you, what you need to do is you need to go start applying for jobs and ask for more money as an applicant. Because if you go to them, the first thing your boss has a reaction to is, you know, and this guy's coming to me wanting more money. You know, what's up with that? You know, I mean, if they think you are worth more money, they should come to you and offer you the more money. If you think you're worth more than they're paying, go find you another job. It should work like that. You shouldn't have to go grovel for a 25-cent an hour raise or some crap like that. If you're worth more money, go find a job that pays you more money, because obviously they don't think you're worth more money, or they would offer that to you. Now, she says that she spent her time. She's bragging. Once again, you notice all of this thing is there's no kind of credit to anybody else. This entire story she's telling, everything she speaks about in this article is shining the light of glory on herself. Well, how amazing of a person she is. She says she spent her time when she did have a position of authority fighting for her staff to get them more money. Only she wasn't. She says in the story, she wasn't fighting to get the white man any more raises. She wasn't fighting to get men more money that were no doubt doing all of the work. She imagine you're a man working under this woman. And you're slaving away. You're doing 80% of the work because the women on the team, like is usually the case, are dead weight. They're not doing, they're not pulling their weight on the team. And your boss goes in there and she's fighting for getting them more money than you, because it's not fair that you're making a little bit more than the women when you're doing 80% of the work. So she's fighting for her staff to get pay equality. She wasn't fighting for her staff that were doing all of the work. She was fighting for the dead weight. This is what happens when you hire one of these SJW types in your company. This is why you have to stay away. And this is why people do. They will learn. Serious business people will sniff this out. When somebody comes in and applies for the job, they look at their demeanor. They call around. They find out their history. And if there is a – they can sniff a whiff of this social justice warrior crap on them, they are going to stay far, far away. And what's the result? They don't get hired, and they wind up writing this kind of drivel for something like Yahoo News or BuzzFeed. That's where you're going to wind up. It's not a mystery.
Yeah, it's a good point that you make there. I've never asked for a raise. I was always offered a raise if I'd worked hard or if I went for a higher paid job. I would apply for a higher paid job, but yeah, it's a bit cheeky asking for a raise. Well, she says we have to hold corporations and senior leaders accountable for the role they play in proliferating the gender and racial wage gaps that continue to diminish the earning potential of women, especially women of color. We have to be willing to have tough conversations about unconscious bias and put systems in place so that we can prevent our own human instincts from hindering progress. Is that what our instincts do? I mean, I thought our instincts sort of saved us from danger. She says, for example, companies can make sure a diverse group of hiring managers review candidates for senior hires and have equal input. So she's saying there it's down to racism on white people. So they need to have more black people in their hiring managers, because then if they have more black people, they will hire more black people. So she's saying the solution to this is to have black people doing what she accuses white people of doing. She says they can stop using arbitrary job requirements like a 4-year college degree and certain years worth of experience to whittle down their hiring pools. Well, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's not ask for people to actually be qualified to do the job. Let's not ask if they actually have any experience. Let's give it to people who aren't qualified. Give it to people who don't have the experience, because then we'll have more women and more people of color on the team. And that's what it's all about, of course, not actually making a profit. Finally, she says, and they can routinely review compensation at all levels and ensure workers are being paid equitably across the board. So she means everybody gets paid the same, regardless of what work they do. And she finishes with, let's put the onus on the people who really hold the power and stop telling women to be better negotiators. Just incredible. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on all of this?
Yeah, start telling women to not be dead weight and start actually doing the work. Quit sitting around on Facebook all day and actually do the work. She does highlight something here, and this is why people that, like I say, are serious about business and such, you have to sniff these social justice warrior type people out and stay away. Because these people will usually, what she outlines here is what these people do. If you hire them, you think, well, you know, I'll put her over here. You're going to wind up shuffling them around because they cause problems everywhere. It's hard to fire them because they're going to claim that you were doing some sort of racism or sexism on them. And what these people always do is find a way to manage. They wind up in human resources. And what do they do once they get there? They hire other people like them. And now you're infested with these people. You can't just take in one and then think, oh, well, it'll be okay. I can isolate and manage them and keep them from causing too much trouble. They will find a way to get into the hiring practice, and then they want to hire other people just like them. And all of a sudden, the company loses all purpose. You're not doing anything that has anything to do with what's supposed to be your business. Instead, you're sitting around dealing with drivel like this. It's incredible. That's why you have to stay away from these people, and it's why people will stay away from hiring these people, not because of unconscious bias, but because of experience.
Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.